Omaha Public Radio presents another lecture program from Creighton University on Noon Forum. We'll hear a talk by Massimiliano Tomba, senior researcher in political philosophy in the Department of Political and Juridical Sciences and International Studies at the University of Padua in Italy. He'll speak on the topic Redemption, Messianic Time, and Historical Transformation, Walter Benjamin's Political Theology. This program, sponsored by the Kripke Center for the Study of Religion and Society, was recorded by Omaha Public Radio on Wednesday evening, November 28, 2012, for broadcast at this time. The opinions expressed are those of the speaker and do not necessarily represent those of Creighton University, KIOS-FM, or the Omaha Public School District. Here now to introduce the speaker is Patrick Murray, a member of the Creighton University Department of Philosophy.
Dr. Tomba's research interests include German classical philosophy, political philosophy, critical theory, philosophies of history, particularly relevant for tonight, I think, Marxist and post-Marxist thought, and human rights. He's a prolific writer in Italian and English. He's published 3 books, edited 7 others, and his book, Marx's Temporalities, has just been translated by Peter Thomas and Sarah Ferris. It's just coming out. He hasn't gotten it quite yet himself, yeah. But it's just coming out from Brill Academic Publishers as part of the Historical Materialism book series. So I'm very pleased that Massimiliano, also known as Max, can be with us here. He's going to be speaking to us tonight on redemption, messianic time, and historical transformation, Walter Benjamin or Benjamin's political theology. Welcome, Dr. Tomba.
Thank you. Thank you very much for your nice introduction, and thank you for having invited me in your nice, beautiful town and university. I really like it. And my talk, my presentation is on political theology in two very different thinkers. On one side, Carl Schmitt. Carl Schmitt was a German jurist and National Socialist, you have to say. And on the other side, Walter Benjamin. Walter Benjamin was the opposite. He was a Jewish, communist, and we try to... I want to try to sketch out two different approaches in political theology. So Carl Schmitt or Walter Benjamin versus Carl Schmitt. Let me begin with the very first sentence of the third chapter of Carl Schmitt's Political Theology, 1922. Carl Schmitt wrote, "The central concepts of a modern state theory are all secularized theological concepts." Schmitt continues by underlining that this kind of concept were transferred from theology to the theory of state in two ways, in two possible ways. On one side, for example, I quote, "The omnipotent God became the omnipotent lawgiver." On the other side, the analogy between theological and political concepts regards, I quote, "their systematic structure, the recognition of which is necessary for a sociological consideration of these concepts. The exception," writes Schmitt, "in jurisprudence is analogous to the miracle in theology." The first way is, in my opinion, is pretty simple to understand. This analogy, when Schmitt wrote the omnipotent God became the omnipotent lawgiver. This is very simple. The idea is that the modern concept of the absolute power of the sovereign who creates the political order, Hobbes, Leviathan, the power who creates the state from an original condition of disorder, the state of nature, this creation replies the theological creatio ex nihilo, the creation from nothing of God. And if you want this idea of the creatio ex nihilo is controversial, because it's not clear, especially in Schmitt, if it regards the creation of matter or just the form. In any case, what is important in the analogy is the passage from this order to order. We have to produce order. And the analogy is like a God creates the world. This, I think, in my interpretation, this is the more simple and, if you want, the more common interpretation of political theology. Someone you can find in the literature, people who say, okay, this is because a king is like God, you have to represent that the absolute power of the king or of the state is absolute as God is the absolute power. I think this is too simple. This is not the real conception of Carl Schmitt. This is just an analogy between theological and political concepts. The second way is, in my opinion, more important for understanding political theology. And it regards the analogy of the Schmitt systematic structure of theological and political concepts. Systematic structure. The issue concerns the question of the transcendence. And it is connected with another important formulation of Schmitt. When I quote, sovereign is he who decides on the exception. This is a very famous quotation of Schmitt. The sovereign is he who decides on the exception. And we already saw that according to Schmitt, the exception in the jurisprudence is analogous to the miracle in theology. The concept of a miracle plays an important political role. In chapter 37 of Leviathan, Hobbes then identifies a miracle as a strange thing. He says, he wrote, the miracle is a very strange thing whose natural cause is difficult to imagine. Miracle, now this is the interpretation of Schmitt, of this passage of Hobbes. Miracle is an exception in natural order, a work of God done for the make, this is once again Hobbes, I'm sorry, because I mixed Hobbes and Schmitt and the interpretation of Schmitt. Now is once again Hobbes, and Hobbes says, wrote, the miracle is a work of God done for the making manifest to his of God elect the mission of an extraordinary minister for their salvation. Schmitt tries to go ahead in this idea of miracle as extraordinary minister for their salvation. And he wrote, the idea of the modern constitutional state triumphed together with deism. A theology And the day is a theology and the metaphysics that banishes the miracle from the world. So the problem of the modern age is this banishing from of the miracle from the world. This is the problem, according to Schmidt. This theology of deism, this theology and the metaphysics rejected not only the transgression of the laws of nature through an exception, but also the sovereign's direct intervention in a valid legal order. For Schmidt, the problem is to try to translate this theological problem of the exception into the political order. And the very problem of modernity is that modernity banished the miracle from both theology and politics. And he wrote, conservative authors and the counter-revolution who were their taste could thus attempt to support the personal sovereignty of the monarch ideology with the aid of analogies from a theistic theology. So from the point of view of Schmidt, we have to try with the conservative author of the counter-revolution, France counter-revolution, to think once again the miracle in the theology and therefore exception in politics. In my opinion, the point of Schmidt's analysis is not really focused in a democratic age, now I quote, in a democratic age, the element of transcendence that had been there in the 16th and even in the 17th centuries. This is a quotation of Paul Kant. According to Kant, the problem of God the problem of Schmidt is to restore in a democratic age the issue of the miracle and the issue of transcendence, because as we saw, the modern age banished the miracle and therefore the idea of transcendence. Now the problem is to try to restore transcendence in the modern age. I think this is not correct, because in Schmidt, the element of transcendence is inborn, is in the essence of the modern state. And the element of transcendence can be hidden in the constitutional state, but it cannot be suppressed. The democratic state, i.e. the idea of the people's sovereignty, does not reduce the element of transcendence, cannot delete, cannot cancel the element of transcendence into a total dimension of immanence. But the dimension of transcendence is just placed in another position. In the democratic state, the transcendence, the dimension of transcendence is in the people. This is a very difficult issue. The people as a political, sovereign subject. This subject is now the place of transcendence. Let me explain this point. The people as a subject does not exist until it is put in form. You have to produce the form of the people. Otherwise, according to Hobbes, and Schmidt agrees with Hobbes, you don't have a people. You have a multitude. You have individuals, but you don't have a people. You have to produce the people. That means you have to produce the form of the political subject whose name is people. This is the very important logic of representation that you can find in Hobbes' Leviathan, once again. I quote from Hobbes, "A multitude of men are made one person when they are by one man or one person represented. For it is the unity of the representer, not the unity of the represented, that makes the person one." You have to produce the unity, and you have to produce the form. The modern political theology is encapsulated in the circular temporality of the logic of the social contract, in which the result is at the same time the presupposition. In order to have the people, you need the representer. But the representer is the result of the social contract. Because in order to have a social contract, I want to explain maybe better this point. In order to have a contract, a social contract, you need a real agreement. That means everyone has to agree with a possible representer. But this universal general agreement is possible only if you already have the people. But the people can exist only if it is represented. This is the difficult, strange logic in which the result is at the same time the presupposition. And you have to produce the singular concept people, the people as a form, as a unity, as a political subject. People cannot be a multitude. Is a political subject. In the constitutional theory, 1928, Schmitt wrote, "To represent means to make an invisible being visible." Sichtbar machen. This is very important. To make something that is invisible visible. You have to produce this visibility. Sichtbar machen. And present, visible and present through a publicly present one. In other words, to represent means to make a present an absent. One can represent the absent, and not who is already present. Because who is already present doesn't require to be represented. The logic of a representation concerns only the absent subject who becomes present and visible through the representative. And the absent is the people. In this case, the absent subject is the people. And you have to produce the visibility of the people through the representative. So when the president says, in the name of the people, it's really serious. This is not a joke. When the president says, in the name of the people, he or she is producing the people as a political subject. And you have to produce the unity and totality of the people. Therefore, is the representative who makes visible the invisible unity of people, and they give existence to the people as a political subject. For this reason, if you want, the modern concept of people is... The English language is very strange, but in the European, in continental language, people is always singular. Because of that logic. If people is really the political subject, it must be singular. And in Italian is popolo, in German folk, singular, in France peuple, and is in every continental European language, people is a singular. I would say that even in English, when you are speaking about the political subject, actually it's singular, it's not plural. Otherwise, you cannot say the American people. Okay, you have people. This is a multitude. But when you have the American people, you are talking about a political subject, singular. But you have to produce this subject. How? Through the representative. And therefore, the modern political form requires a monarchical moment. In the Republic, this monarchical moment is the president, but you need, in the modern political form, the unity of the representer. And this is, exactly this point is the theological, political core of the modern political form. In another book of Schmitt, Roman Catholicism, Schmitt try to understand this logic in comparison with the visibility of the church, and the Pope produces the visibility and the unity of the church. So the logic of a representation explains on one side how the people becomes visible, and on the other side, this logic shows how the creation of the people as a subject works. The decision on the exception is the core, the central point of this act of creation. And therefore, Schmitt says, who is the question, who is the sovereign? The sovereign is he who decides on the exception. You need the exception on one side, and you need the decision and the subject of the decision on the other side. The decision is a decision between order and disorder. And this kind of decision, and the decision concerns the determination of the state as a community of people, as we, that can define itself only in opposition to what which it is not. We can say we, the Italian people, because you are German, because you are not Italian. We need an opposition in order to define our identity. Otherwise, the games doesn't work. Therefore, the decision is about the distinction between friend and enemy. And the decision, according to Schmitt, the decision on exception determines both the sovereign, who is the subject who makes the decision, and the community of which is the sovereign. And the combination of these two sides of the decision ends the state of nature of the civil war. The problem is that you have to finish, to end this the civil war. You have to finish the disorder. You have to produce an order. This is the disorder is the exception. You have to produce, to create an order, and you can create an order only through the decision between friends and enemy. We are the community of friends, and with the decision, we can identify our enemy. We are Italian because you are German. On the other side, through the decision of the sovereign, we are the people. Our political unity is produced. The temporality of this political decision is the future anterior. This is also the temporality of the constituent power, according to which the winner will be justified by the new constitution of the new state. It is, if you like, the temporality of both putsch, but also of the revolution. Because the rebels of the part of the people who try to make a revolution, they can aim to be legitimized in two ways. On one side, they can justify their means, the war, the civil war against the state, through the ends, through the goals which they want to realize. On the other side, their means will be justified by the realization of their goal that will be achieved when they will have conquered the power and they will be able to create a new constitution according to which they will be the new father of nation. I think this is the Zweck-Mittel relationships, the goal, the ends, means relationships, which is the temporality of the modern political concepts and which is the temporality of the political theology in the sense of Schmitt. This future anterior temporality and this Zweck-Mittel relationships. Because according to these Zweck-Mittel relationships, you can say that, I can justify my war against the state because I think that my goal is really the holy realization of the holy kingdom of freedom. And therefore, I am justified to do everything because my goal is the holy goal and I can do everything. And then if I win, I will be justified because I have the power and I can produce a new constitution according to which I am the new father of nation. This is the normal temporality of a civil war. Italy, America, Germany, everywhere. This is the modern temporality of a civil war. In his critique of violence, finally, Benjamin, 1921, Benjamin shows how that temporality corresponds with both the temporality of the law, temporality of the state, and he says, the mythical temporality of the state. This is the temporality of the myth, the mythical dimension of temporality. And against this temporality, this Zweck-Mittel relation, against this temporality, Benjamin sets the temporality of divine violence. Another form, this is the mythical violence, the mythical temporality, state, law, rights. Against these temporalities, ends means relationship, against these temporalities, Benjamin tries to represent a new temporality. He calls this temporality the temporality of the divine violence. I want to try to show the theological presupposition of this different political theology in Benjamin. And I want to try to sketch out another possible constellation in which the element of transcendence finds another place, another position, is not the people, as in Carl Schmitt, or in the modern political form. Because according to Schmitt, this is the position of the transcendence in the modern political form, the production of the unity of this political subject. And that means if you want to go beyond Schmitt, you have to rethink transcendence. And then you can have maybe another political theology, which is different from Schmitt, with different consequences. So if you, I want to begin with not with the article on the critique of violence, but with the thesis of Benjamin on history. If you know the thesis, you know that the very first thesis is on theology, and so Benjamin wrote, we have to rethink our concept of history or the historical materialism with theology, and I think theology is present. Theology works. In all the theses, not just in the first thesis in which theology is as mentioned, but it works really in order to produce a new configuration of both politics and history. In the thesis number eight, Benjamin wrote, it is against Schmitt, the state of exception, Ausnahmezustand, and he quote, this is the state of exception, Schmitt, in which we live is the rule. It's not an exception, it's the rule. This is already an argument against Carl Schmitt. In my opinion, the core, the heart of this argument is a theological one and concerns a different understanding of both transcendence and the temporality of a political theology. In the same thesis, Benjamin writes that the current amazement that the things we are experiencing are still possible in the 20th century is not philosophical. The current amazement is not philosophical in front of the things that we are experiencing. And that means that the amazement before National Socialism, before Benjamin wrote the thesis in 1940, the amazement before National Socialism, before the Second World War, is not philosophical. National Socialism is not a derapage, it's not a detour from the modernity. It's just a part, according to Benjamin, of the catastrophical continuum of modernity. Therefore, this amazement, writes Benjamin, I quote, is not the beginning of knowledge, unless it is the knowledge that the view of history which give rise to it is untenable. We have to overcome the conception of history in which National Socialism and Second World War were possible. National Socialism and Second World War are not the exception. They are the rule in the modern temporality, in modernity, if you want to go beyond the National Socialism, as a, or if you want to go beyond the National Socialism, you have to go beyond the condition of possibility of National Socialism, which is modernity and the modern temporality. Therefore, writes Benjamin, our task is to bring out the real state of exception, the wirkliche Ausnahmezustand, the real state of exception against the state of exception of Schmitt, which is not an exception, but the rule. The problem is how we can produce, we can create the real state of exception. And the real state of exception is the condition which breaks the continuum of modernity, the continuum in which National Socialism was possible and is possible. According to Benjamin, if we consider Benjamin really seriously, we have to say National Socialism was and is possible, because we are in modernity. We are not beyond modernity and the temporality of modernity. We are in the modernity. And therefore, these kind of things are still possible. And the true amazement through which the real knowledge of the present becomes is possible begins, this true amazement, when we consider our conception of history and time untenable, when we understand that we have to go beyond our conception of history and time. That means, in my interpretation of Benjamin, that we have to break with the conception of the empty homogeneous time, and with the conception of a progress, and with the temporality of the ends-means relationships that can justify both the camps in National Socialism and the Gulag in the attempt to realize socialism. But if you want this ends-means relationship can justify also the realization or the exportation of democracy through bombs. And this is the way in which now human rights work. You can justify whatever you want, because your goal is a good goal, is a just goal, and therefore you can export democracy through bombs. It's the same logic. In other words, the true question regards the praxis that goes beyond the Zweck-Mittel relation, the end-means relationship. If the revolutionary praxis is not a mean for the realization of an end, if one has to go beyond this means-ends relationship and its temporality, it must be thought of a kind of praxis which is just, not in relationship with a future and to realize, but in the present of an anticipation. This concept of anticipation is very important and I will explain something later. It's an important concept in the book of Rosenzweig, The Star of Redemption, a book that Benjamin read. So you have to understand your praxis as a just praxis in itself. That means in the dimension of the anticipation and if you want, and according to the idea of justice. So you have two dimensions of your praxis. You have to find an intrinsic criteria of the justice in the praxis, and at the same time, you have to think of your praxis as an anticipation and not as a mean that to realize a goal. And we saw for Carl Schmitt, the political is exercised on the basis of the friend-enemy distinction. And the decision regards the foundation of the political community of the friends against enemy. So the conflict and this decision between friends and enemy is crucial, is very important, is the central point for Schmitt. Against Schmitt, a conservative thinker, Leo Strauss, emphasized, but his point is really incredibly smart in my opinion. Leo Strauss emphasized that the political original question doesn't concern the enemy and the distinction between friends and enemy, but the question of justice. According to Strauss, I quote, we are always quarreling with each other and with ourselves only over the just and the good. This is an important shift. The original question is justice and good, and not the friend-enemy distinction. We struggle, yes, we can struggle. We struggle about the question, what is justice? What is the good? This is the real original question. That means, it's a really, I think it's an important point. We are together, and we have to ask, the important question is, what is just, what is right in our being together? Obviously, disagreement is possible, and therefore struggling is possible, conflict is possible, but the original question is not, the original political point is not the conflict, this is the consequence of the question about justice. This is the point of Strauss. I think it's really important. A good friend of mine who is dead 1 year ago, and he was a Jesuit in Padova. We worked together and we organized the seminars on Marx. And he said in a very nice discussion, we have to represent ourselves not as the community of friends. We are not friends. Because I can choose my friends. And that means if I can choose my friends, I can exclude something. Friendships allows exclusion. He says we have to represent ourselves as brothers. But he says it's not only a Christian concept. Brothers means brotherhood means I didn't choose my yeah, the other brothers. Yeah, this is. It's important because that means I have to live with them. I have just to consider what is right in our being together. This is the real question. And I think it was very important. I remember his talk. It was about migration. And that was his point about migration. The question is not inclusion or exclusion. The question is, they are our brothers. And the real question is, okay, now we are together. What is right in our being together? Yeah, I think it was really a good point. The question of justice does not neutralize conflict, but it represents the original political question for which human beings struggle. The idea of justice is the specific human question that transcends the human possibility to realize it. We cannot realize the justice. We cannot realize the idea of justice. And therefore, justice is possible as a praxis, but we cannot realize justice. Therefore, now in this new configuration, the element of transcendence finds its true position, place in the idea of justice and in the question about justice. We have another position finally. And because this idea cannot be realized, important consequence for Benjamin, the existing political form is always unjust. We cannot say this is a just political form because we cannot realize justice. And therefore, the modern political form, or if you want, the modern political forms, are always unjust. Why? Because they are not adequate to the idea of justice. And therefore, just can be only the praxis which breaks the form and opens the form to the infinite possibilities of realization. This is the true justice. You cannot find a form of justice. You cannot determine the justice. Just is the praxis which opens the political form and makes possible all the possibilities of realization. This is the moment of justice. If you want, this is the messianic moment in Benjamin. In the Theological Political Fragment, 1920, Benjamin wrote, "The kingdom of God is not the telos, the goal, of the historical dynamis. It cannot be set as a goal. The kingdom of God, it cannot be set as a goal. From the standpoint of history, it is not the goal, but the end. Full stop. Therefore, the order of the profane cannot be built up on the idea of the divine kingdom. And therefore, theocracy has no political, but only a religious meaning." End of quotation. Any attempt to realize the divine kingdom or the kingdom of justice is catastrophic, is a disaster. Because an attempt to realize the kingdom of justice works with the temporality of the ends-means relationship. And therefore, we can imagine the kingdom of God not as a goal, but only as the end. The end of the goals-means relationships on one side, and the end of the history. It's not the end of the history as such, but the end of a particular history, that means the end of the modern history, and the end of the modernity, and its temporality. The messianic moment, according to the Kabbalist Mosè Cordovero, represents the restoration of the originary Torah, which was composed with all the possible combinations of divine letters. The first important point is the messianic moment is the restoration. That means the temporality, the arrow of temporality is towards the past and not the future. This is very important. And Benjamin tries to reorient all the political concepts towards the past and not of the present. We have to make the revolution. Benjamin was a communist, but not for the future, not in order to realize something in the future, but because we have to redeem the past generation of oppressed. We have a task. Our task is the redemption of the past generation of oppressed. So his attempt is try to reorganize all the political concepts towards the past. Why? Because it cannot work with the ends means of relationship. It cannot justify the revolution with the future that you want to realize. And then restoration on one side, Mosè Cordovero. On the other side, he says, Mosè Cordovero says, which is the originary Torah was composed with all the possible combinations of divine letters. And these letters received the form of the present Torah as a consequence of the original sin of man. In fact, if there had been no original sin, there would not have been death. And the same letters would have been combined to form words that told another story. So the present Torah is a consequence of the original sin, and therefore you can find in the Torah the word death. The present Torah is corrupted, and therefore we have to go back to the original Torah, which is just the alphabet in front of God with all the possible combination of all the possible Torah. God can write all the possible Torah with the all possible combination of letter, with the all possible grammar. This is the original Torah. This is the justice. This is justice. When you can open all the possible infinite possibilities. You can see that this is exactly what Benjamin was thinking in his conception of politics. The political form is corrupted. That means we have to break the political form, the state, the law, rights, in order to open the form to the possibilities of infinite possibilities. The temporality of Benjamin's political theology is an attempt to rethink restoration as redemption of the past possibilities. This intervention, this break, is a break, as we saw, of the temporality of modernity, is the break of the ends and means of relationship, but this messianic moment is something that, according to Benjamin, is possible in every moment. We don't have to wait for the Messiah. The messianic intervention, the messianic moment is possible right now. This is another, I think, very interesting aspect of Walter Benjamin. So we don't have to wait. It's possible right now. And this intervention, this temporality of redemption, breaks the ends mean relationships and it poses the question of the pure means, just means, which are not means to an end, but means which are just in themselves. And at the same time, this intervention, this messianic intervention, poses the question of the anticipation that grasps, this is Rosenzweig, that grasps the future in its reality. Anticipation is something that we have to produce now, in this moment. In this sense, the true change is not something that we have to wait until nobody knows when, but it is connected with the question of justice that reconnects both the political and the ethical dimension of our being together. That means in Benjamin, these two dimensions, politics and ethics, are really strictly combined. And you have to think together your ethical action as a political action and your political action as an ethical action, agency. And this is, if you want, the sense of the very famous image of the emergency break. And Benjamin, I want to, it's a very short passage, but it's really important. I want to read this little, because I think maybe you don't know the thesis of Benjamin, and this is something that actually you can find only in the Paralipomena to the thesis and not in the thesis. Benjamin wrote, Marx says that revolutions are the locomotive of world history, but perhaps it is quiet otherwise. Perhaps revolutions are an attempt by the passengers on the train, namely the human race, to activate the emergency brake. It's the opposite. The meaning of this beautiful image, in my opinion, is exactly the meaning of the concept of anticipation. Okay, stop. Thank you.
You've been listening to a lecture from Creighton University on Noon Forum. We've heard a talk by Massimiliano Tomba, senior researcher in political philosophy in the Department of Political and Juridical Sciences and International Studies at the University of Padua in Italy. He spoke on the topic, Redemption, Messianic Time, and Historical Transformation, Walter Benjamin's Political Theology. This program, sponsored by the Kripke Center for the Study of Religion and Society, was recorded by Omaha Public Radio on Wednesday evening, November 28, 2012, for broadcast at this time. Special thanks to Cindy Workman, Associate Director of Public Relations at Creighton University, for helping to make the recording and broadcast of this program possible. Complete Noon Forum listings, as well as an archive of over 300 previous broadcasts, are available on our website, kios.org. Now, this is your producer and host, Bob Cote, thanking you for listening.